Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us here on Making It Last with your host, Pamela King. It's all about topics relating to marriage, dating, and love. It's about connection, commitment, and consistency in your life, in your marriage, and with yourself. Thank you for joining, Pamela, and stay tuned for a good, enlightening conversation with your host and her guest here on Making It Last.
Good afternoon, Making It Last listeners. You guys, it is definitely Thursday, midday. I am your host, Pamela King. I am coming to you from Memphis, Tennessee. I know we're a little behind today, but you guys bear with me. Technology is great, but technology is technology. I'm just glad that my guest was very patient and she is still here because we have a really good show for you all on today. I hope you have had a wonderful week since the last time that I spoke to you. We are heading to talk today about forgiveness. And this is a hot topic, a good topic, a topic that definitely needs to be discussed because, you know, is forgiveness earned or is it expected? Should we just automatically give our spouse or those that hurt us forgiveness? Do we even ourselves deserve forgiveness? So we're definitely going to talk about that. I have a great guest, Keisha Haas, on the line with us today, and we're going to bring her on and talk to her, but you know what I'm going to do. You guys already know how we start Making It Last, and today is definitely no different than any other time. If we don't need the Lord no other day, I need him today. It's definitely been a day today, but I am just thankful to be standing above ground. So we are going to... We're going to do our prayer and ask God and the Holy Spirit to come into this conversation and to just be with all of the listeners, be with myself, be with my guests, so that we can make sure that we are bringing to you what he wants us to bring to you. We want to make sure that we're giving you something and feeding into your life what you need at this present time, and so that he can definitely help us with our words and help us with the message that we're going to bring. So, Keisha, I want to just thank you for being so patient, boo.
It's not a problem. It happens.
Yeah. So I am going to open us up with prayer, and then we're going to bring Keisha on, and we just want to talk. So, Jehovah God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for giving us this moment in time to come together to talk about forgiveness, to talk about forgiveness in marriage, to talk about how we can walk the walk and do what we're supposed to do when it comes to forgiveness when we are trying to be your children and do what we're supposed to do in our marriages. I just thank you for giving Keisha the opportunity to space out time in her busy schedule to even talk to us and bring us the knowledge that you want her to share with us. I want to thank you, Jehovah, for even bringing those that are going to listen to this time, because this is where they're supposed to be and what they need. And thank you for just being you and being a forgiving God, because if we model ourselves after you, we can definitely walk the walk and be able to forgive those that wrong us, because that is exactly what we need to do and what we're supposed to do. So I thank you. I want to ask that you bring the Holy Spirit here and give us the words and guidance that we need as we talk on Making It Last and we talk about forgiveness. Is it earned or is it expected? So in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, I ask that the Holy Spirit guide us, guide Keisha, guide our listeners, and just give us what we need at this time. In your Son's name, I do pray. Amen.
Amen.
I hope that everyone that is with us today will actually be able to get something from it, because forgiveness is a hard topic. It's something hard to do for us. It's because we're walking in our flesh and we have been hurt. But I want to just bring on Keisha Hodges, who who is going to definitely talk with us today about forgiveness and how we can do what we need to do to move on, to grow, not only in our marriage, but grow closer to God, because if we hold on to grudges, it just stifles us. That's just my point of view. I can't wait to hear what Keisha has to say, but let me tell you a little bit about Keisha before we get started. Saved, sanctified, and filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. She's been married 7 years to Pastor Tariq Hodge. She's the first lady of This Rock Ministry, Church of God in Christ in Southwest Detroit. She is a mother of two. She has a little boy and a little girl. She is receiving her master's degree in organizational management from Spring Arbor University. She is a graduate of the Missionary Awareness Auxiliary Institute in Detroit, and she has over 12 years experience in bank and finance, which includes being the VP in bank and fully licensed financial advisor. So I want to welcome Keisha to Making It Last. I thank you for being so patient with me today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Like I said, I understand.
Oh, no problem. I wanted to bring you on and talk about forgiveness. You know, I've followed you for a long time, and I listen in on services to your prayer calls, but I just been watching you, and with you being a first lady, I know that sometimes you may have to counsel the wives or just people in general on things that have hurt them and how to get past it, because a lot of times in marriage, a hiccup from our spouses kind of stops our growth and stops us from connecting. And I just wanted us to take a little moment today to talk about that forgiveness, because we have to live in divine forgiveness. You know, there's a big difference in us just saying it and us doing it. So,
yes.
Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I'm saying, yes, I do agree with you. There's a big difference in saying you forgive somebody and actually doing it, because depending on who that person is, you can say you forgive them, but if you don't have to see them and interact with them on a regular basis, you really don't know if you have truly forgiven them from your heart until you have to interact with them again. And if you interact with them again and all these old feelings start rising up, all this ill will, all the grudges, then you know that you have not truly moved into a place of forgiveness. And so that's when you need to ask the Lord. You know, one of my prayers is, Lord, you know, please help me not to hold any grudges. Because when we hold grudges, that blocks our communication with God. And we're the ones feeling sick inside, and we're the ones feeling mad and messed up when that person, in most cases, has gone on with their lives.
Right.
And they no longer have an issue, but we're the ones that's walking around with a negative attitude that's affecting every area of our lives. And so even though forgiveness is not easy, especially when there's been some deep hurts and the ones that we love the most and hurt us the most, and, you know, we give them that power because we love them, and that can be hard. And I'm not diluting it by any stretch of the imagination. However, it's pertinent, it's very important that we forgive them. Because we have to move on. We have to be set free. When we don't forgive people, we're placing ourselves in bondage. And we have, and we don't want to be that. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And so we want to make sure that we are a people of liberty. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. And so we want to make sure that we are not placing ourselves in bondage through something that the Lord can set us free from by trying to hold somebody else in bondage.
I like that fact that you said that when we don't forgive, we're holding ourselves in bondage, because it is so true. A lot of times people don't even know that they have hurt you, and you're holding on to it, and you're actually hurting yourself more than you are or the person it has even hurt you, because you're holding on to something that you really need to release. So, you know, how can they release it? How can somebody release this hurt that it's so deep and they feel so violated? And I know you said that we may not even see the person, and then when we do see them, it brings up, feelings, but how about when it's in-house? The person that hurt us is in-house. It's our spouse.
Well, that's what that's prayer. I mean, I can every answer is going to start with prayer, and you're going to ask the Lord to lead and to guide you, because not only are you going to ask the Lord, Lord, please remove this grudge from me, take that away from me, but then Lord, help me to communicate with my spouse. Give me what to say without nagging, without fussing, without losing it. You know, give me exactly what to say and give him or her an ear to hear what I have to say. Help us, Lord, open up the lines of communication, rebuke the spirit of confusion, and then so that we can sit down so that the same thing won't keep happening over and over and over again. And so you have to pray. You have to ask God for guidance and for direction, and he may lead you to his word and give you certain things in his word. He may have a sister in Christ or a brother in Christ or your pastor or first lady give you some counseling and words of encouragement in that manner and give you words of wisdom in that way. But ask God to lead and guide you, because if that's something that you sincerely want to do, God is going to do that for you. If you sincerely want to forgive, it doesn't matter what it is. God will help you do that. But we have to first want to forgive. We have to want to be free. If we don't want to forgive, we can't just pray a cursory prayer just because out of formality, just because we know it's the quote-unquote right thing to do. You know, we have to be serious about that thing and say, Lord, I know that you have forgiven me an infinite amount of time. And so, Lord, please help me to forgive this person. And Lord, wipe away the hurt. Take away the hurt, oh God. I want to be wise. I want to learn from this situation, but I don't want to be walking around wounded. Lord, make me whole again.
Love it. And when they're talking to God, we definitely want to ask him to reveal to us any unforgiveness that we are carrying, because sometimes we don't even realize that the actions that we are displaying to our husband is because of feelings that we have, and we are holding on to some type of hurt or grudge, and so we want to be able to ask God to reveal it to us. I know that Psalms 139:24 tells us to ask him to point out anything to us. So be specific. Mm-hmm. Ask God to point it out to you. If you see yourself being very snappish or is this not feeling right to you, and you just can't put your finger on it, ask God to point it out to you, because it's so important for you to recognize that you have this spirit going on around you.
Right. And sometimes we mistake holding our peace or keeping the peace for building up a wall and shutting down. Mm-hmm. And there's a difference. Sometimes, yes, you shouldn't say anything because you should keep the peace, or you know that God hasn't given you the right response yet, so you're about to say something that's going to make matters worse. But shutting down is something totally different. And that's when you are holding on unforgiveness, and you're holding a grudge, and you're becoming bitter, and it's growing. It's getting worse and worse and worse day by day. And so we have to make sure that we have discernment and that we're not shutting down. You know, keeping... having control of your tongue and knowing what to say and how to say it and when to say it is very different from I'm going to shut down. I don't care what he does. You know, he can do whatever he want to do, and I'm going to just go on with life. That's not the way God wants your marriage to work and the way that he wants it to be. And so we have to be very careful about that, you know, because sometimes we think, oh, well, I'm just trying to stop from fighting and fussing, but then you're not communicating at all. And so there has to be a way, there is a way, if we seek God for it, that we can communicate without always being at each other's throats. That cannot be the only way versus shutting down.
That shutting down, you just walked on somebody's doorstep. Because I do hear wives, and I hear husbands too, they say, I just don't even say anything. I just let it go. I don't say anything because I don't want to make waves. And Mm-hmm. Really good point. They're not just not saying anything because it's not the right time. That is a form of shutting down, and mm-hmm. and that's a form of separating yourself from your spouse. And when you do that, it opens up the doors for a lot for Satan to come in and confuse you, in what's happening.
Yes, and the devil, you know, we have to always remember the devil just looks for an opening. He just looks for a small, it doesn't have to be a big opening, a small opening. And when you shut down, you are separating yourself from your spouse. You could still be living in the same house, but you are separating yourself from your spouse, and that provides an opening. That provides an opening. If you're not the person that he can come or she can come to talk to, then who can they come to talk to? If you're shutting down, if you can't go talk to them, then who are you going to talk to? Somebody else? And what is that going to start? And so the devil looks for an opening, and we have to be careful. The Bible says give no place to the devil. And we have to be careful that we don't do that, even when we're going through hard times and struggles. And it is so important that we truly submit ourselves to God and ask the Lord to lead and to guide us. You know, there have been times where, you know, I've been angry about something, and, you know, my husband was out of town on a business trip, and my husband said he noticed just through my text messages, because normally I'm like, honey, I love you, and, you know, all of this, and excited, and texting him all times, and not even if he sleeps, like, he'll just read it when he wake up, you know, and excited, you know, still about my husband. And next thing you know, like, he asked me a question, I was like, one word answer. All my text messages was like one word. And the Lord led him, I thank God for a husband that's led by the Lord. He called me early that morning, like, okay, we got to talk. Like, what's going on? You know, and I thank God for that, because at that time I had got to a place where I wasn't going to talk about it no more. I felt like I talked about it, okay, it's, you know what, I'm done. And he called me. The kids were asleep, and God created the perfect time, and I was able to share my heart with him. And he listened to me. He had an ear to hear what I was saying. And so then we were able to work some things out and come to some conclusions. He apologized, and we went on from that. And I was so grateful to God for loving me that much that he sent him. And normally when my husband's on his business trip, when he gets up in the morning, he prays, and he's out. He's about business. And he took all the time that we needed that morning, because that our marriage is that important. To talk to me and to say, okay, let me hear. You know, he just listened. He didn't cut me off or anything. And so we have to make sure that we're truly allowing the Lord to lead us, to guide us, and asking him to order our steps and what we should do. And when he tells us to do something, to do it. And even when it's not comfortable, even if you don't even want to talk to your spouse, and the Lord say, go talk to him. The Lord say, go give him a kiss on the cheek. Go give him a hug. Go give him a sob. Go do it. Because then you all can sit down and break down those walls and really communicate and really get to the heart of the matter. And you know, ask the Lord, okay, Lord, let me see my spouse how you see my spouse. Let me see him through your eyes. And let him see me through your eyes as well. And help us to come together and get on one accord, because the Bible says a house divided against itself shall not stand. So help us to be united on one accord, so that we can stand and grow and prosper the way that I know, Lord, that you want us to do.
So true. And we have to be willing to receive it, not allow our anger or bitterness toward our spouse make us so hard and harsh that we're asking God for a betterment, but we are not, we're so focused on the hurt or our anger that we're not even open to receive what God is trying to do in us to make the situation better. So even though you're wanting better, you have to recognize that you have this wall that you're building up. So you got to tear down. God will help you tear down, but you got to receive him as well.
Right. Right, and I know that, you know, some of the listeners could be like, well, I've been through, you know, you don't know what I've been through, you know, and I've been through some rough things, but, you know, I know a sister in Christ years ago, you know, it came out that her husband was cheating on her, and he was a leader in the church, And so she had to, so when he got called out, because the pastor called him out and said, I'm going to have to sit you down for what you're doing, she by default got called out. And so the whole church knew what was going on in her marriage. And I remember we went on a retreat, a sister's retreat, and one of the ladies asked, she said, well, why does the wife get, have to come to the altar when it's the husband that's cheating? Why does that have to happen? And she asked, she said, can I answer that, please? And she stood up and she said, it wasn't his marriage that was messed up. It was our marriage that was messed up. And she said, we were out of order. We needed to get healed. And I couldn't just blame it all on him. And so sometimes, even when I'm not downplaying even adultery. Of course, I'm not downplaying that. But we have to think about, okay, what have I done wrong in the marriage? You know, what did I do? What type of neglect am I guilty of? You know, what happened in this marriage? Lord, not only deliver us from this evil, but help us to grow and to be better to one another. And so, and help me in forgiveness. God, again, God can forgive in any area. There are parents who have had their children murdered, and they have forgiven the person who did it. So God can forgive us. When Jesus was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they did. And that was after he had been tortured and beaten. And he's hanging up on the cross with nails in him by his own weight. And he's still thinking about us and saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So God can, we can forgive in any area. Once again, though, it has to start with us wanting to forgive, wanting the Lord to help us to get to that point of forgiveness, because there's such freedom, and we have to keep in mind, you're doing it not only for that person, but you're doing it for you. You're doing it for your soul. You're doing it for your relationship with God. And we have to keep that in mind, that it's not all about, oh, I'm letting them get over on me. It's not even about that. It's about your relationship with God and staying in the right relationship with him.
But Keisha, how many times do I supposed to forgive the same occurrence? I mean, it keeps happening. How do I keep forgive? Do I supposed to continue to forgive?
Well, we all know what the Bible says. How many times should I forgive my brother? And Jesus answered 70 times 7. We all know that. I mean, that's Bible 101 for most of us. We all know what the Bible says concerning that. Now, if there's an issue in your marriage and it's adultery, if it's infidelity, you can forgive even if you're not still in that marriage anymore. So that's a different issue. But you still forgive. However, you learn from what you've been through. God teaches you something in everything that you go through. That doesn't mean that you walk in unforgiveness because your eyes are open and your spouse did something to you. Even if he's calling you out your name or disrespecting you or lying to you or whatever the thing is, or her, I know you probably have listeners of both sexes, but you still have to forgive. You have to forgive. The Bible says that the Lord is always ready to forgive. Psalm 86 and 5, the Lord is good and ready to forgive. He's always ready to forgive us. And we do some horrible things. And he's always ready to forgive us. And so we have to get to that place where we're going to say, I'm going to trust you, Lord. I'm going to forgive no matter what. Now, I'm going to learn from that. I'm going to be stronger. I'm going to be wiser because of what I've gone through. But I'm going to forgive. I'm still not going to hold that grudge. And I'm going to pray for that person, getting to a point, Lord, where I can even pray for that person who offended me, who hurt me, who betrayed me. Get me to that point, Lord, where I can truly pray for them because they need you. They obviously need you. And so, Lord, help me to do that. So it's no limit because when we place a limit on how many times we forgive somebody else, then we place a limit on how many times God is going to forgive us. And is that truly something that we want to do? Because if we place a limit on how many times God is going to forgive us, we might have already passed that limit. And so is that truly something that, you know, we want to do? Well, we want God to always have mercy on us. The Bible says his mercy are new each and every morning. you know, his love and kindness, his grace is sufficient for us. And so we want God's grace and mercy all the time. But do we want to take that away and say, Lord, I'm not interested in that because I don't want to give it myself?
I was just asking Keisha. You're absolutely right. We cut off our own blessings when we want to hold on to it or not to give. And when we dwell on any the hurt, or if we wish to forgive, we are feeding that negativity into our hearts, that poison, and it would destroy whatever relationship, or all, it can destroy all the relationships around us, because we are holding on to so much hate, and it just spills out into you. Your language, your actions, and you may not be meaning to do it, but if you do not take care of that unresolved hate and really forgive, and it's really forgiving yourself, and you're forgiving them, because you got to forgive yourself in the fact that you are going to forgive them. You know, let yourself go. Let yourself be able to forgive so that you do not hold on to it and you do not destroy your relationship with God and you do not destroy any additional relationships, because hurt, if you hold on to it, it would destroy a whole lot of things.
That's true, and it's, you know, it's a poison. Like you said, it seeps and overflows into every area of your life. It's a poison. And then you're constantly walking around as the victim all the time. If you're walking in unforgiveness, you're constantly walking around as the victim. He did that to me. She did that to me all the time. And that's not what we're called to be. We're called to be victorious. We're the victors, not the victims. And so we cannot say, okay, you know, I'm a child of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and I walk in all powers in his hand, and I'm walking around as a victim. We can't do that. That means you're walking around in defeat. But we have to be victorious, and we have to be overcomers, and we have to be more than conquerors. And so if we're all of those things, then we don't walk around in unforgiveness and holding on to that unforgiveness and putting ourselves in bondage and being victims all the time and having that victim spirit and that victim mentality. How can we even pray for anybody, minister to anybody, help anybody, serve anybody in any capacity if we're constantly walking around as the victim all the time?
That's so true. Because if we are walking around as a victim, we are always on guard, and regardless of what the person does, we're going to be vindictive, or we're waiting on them to screw up and do the same thing. So we are not even giving them a clean slate, especially once they have apologized and we say that we have forgiven. But we are, in the back of our mind, we are constantly saying, no, they're going to mess up. They're going to mess up. So we...
Hello?
Sorry, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay. I got disconnected, you guys. I'm having a crazy technical distance. So continue on. I'm sorry, I don't even know what we wear.
I'm not sure either. I know we're still talking about, you know, forgiveness. Go ahead.
If I remember correctly, we were definitely trying. We were talking about holding on to it and looking at it. I remember saying this at the end, looking at them from a tainted glass. And when we are always on guard, because you was telling them stop walking around as a victim, because we are actually victorious. And so
yes.
I said, you know, if we continue to look at them from a tainted glass with bitter and anger, or just holding on and putting the hurt in the forefront, our actions are going to show it if we are not really letting God work in us, and he can't bless us if we continue to walk around that way.
Mm-hmm. And that's true. I mean, it just keeps you from moving on with your life. You know, if you suffer some hurts in your marriage, for example, and even if it was adultery, and that's something, and it was continuous, and it happened several times, and even if your marriage happened to have ended from that, well, if you continue to walk around in forgiveness, unforgiveness, then you're never open to God sending that person to you. That's for you. You're never open to God restoring you. You're never open to truly being healed. And so we have to make sure that we're not walking around like that in unforgiveness. You know, we got to think about ourselves. You know, when we've done things horrible and things that we should not have done, and we truly were repentant for it, not only do we want God to forgive us, but we want that person that we did it to forgive us. And what we want, if we did something horrible, or when we did something horrible to our spouses, will we want them to truly forgive us? And the answer is yes. So then we should want to give them that same opportunity. We should want to still forgive them as well, because there are times where I know plenty of people whose marriages have made it through some horrible things, but that's only because that spouse who took the offense, that spouse was forgiving, was willing to forgive. Was it overnight every time? Absolutely not. And I'm not saying that it was a snap, snapping your fingers, as easy as snapping your fingers. But the spouse was willing to go through the process. They went through the crying, they went through the hurt, they went through the anger. But then they truly looked to God for direction and was willing to go through the process to have a better marriage, to have the testimony, okay, yes, we've been through X, Y, and Z. Yes, this was a horrible thing. Yes, this hurt me. But we're still here. We're still here. It didn't kill us. And I love my husband, or I love my wife. And so the devil wants to kill, steal, and destroy. So whatever he can do, whatever he can throw at your marriage, at your life, at your children, at your ministry, at your job, at your own business, whatever he can throw at you, he's going to make that attempt. However, we know that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We just have to make sure that we're not going to allow it to prosper, that we're not going to give place to the devil. And so I know lots of wives. I know lots of first ladies who, back before their husbands were saved, before their husbands were pastors, went through years of infidelity. And at one time or another wanted to leave, and they listened to some wisdom from another woman of God, and they stayed and stuck it out. And now they've been married 40-some years, and their husbands treat them like queens. And so are we going to fight the good fight of faith so that we can be overcomers?
And we have to make the decision, and you, it's only you can make that decision for yourself, but you have to make the decision and stick with it. If you're saying that you're going to forgive and you're going to fight the good fight, then you got to get in there and fight the good fight. You got to arm yourself. You definitely have to put on that suit of armor, and that armor comes from the Word of God, and you got to feed your mind with good stuff. Put in your spirit things that will help you overcome what the devil going to bring it up. He's going to bring it back up. He's going to put things in your view to make you think it's happening, or make you think that you need to leave, you're not worthy, and all of that good stuff. But if you have made in your mind and you've told God that you are going to stay, you got to get in there, get in the ditches, and do some fighting. And I'm not talking literally fighting. I'm talking about fighting for your marriage and do what needs to be done. Because all Satan is wanted to do is win and destroy and get you to walk away. So good point, Keisha.
Thank you. And, I mean, you're absolutely right that you have to be willing to fight for it. And then also ask the Lord to help remove the insecurity, too, so that you won't be walking around feeling insecure all the time. And then if you're, I mean, I know on the other side of it, I know, you know, the wife that committed adultery, and her husband decided to stay in the marriage. However, every time you look around, he was throwing it up in her face. 5 years later, he throwing it up in her face, and I'm like, and so she's not, and she was walking in condemnation and walking on eggshells. And that's no way to live either, because God doesn't do that to us. When God forgives us, he doesn't do that to us. He casts us into the sea of forgetfulness. And so we can't just say, okay, well, if you decide to stay, now that's when you know, you're beholden to me, or I'm going to treat you like a dog forever because of what you've done. No, because that's still not true forgiveness. That's not true forgiveness. And so we have to ask God, okay, help me, Lord, to truly and sincerely forgive and to not constantly be throwing the offense up in my spouse's face so that we can truly move on with our lives. You don't want to stay at a standstill or something that happened 5, 7, 10, 20 years ago. You want to move on and be prosperous in your life, and then you want to set the example for your children so that when they marry, they know how to carry themselves because they're watching. And so we want to set the example for them of, okay, you know, this is how you move, this is how you press forward in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the situation, in the midst of the issue that you might have thought was going to destroy you. No, we're not going to let the devil have the victory, and we're going to press forward.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So we're coming down to the wire. I know conversation goes really fast, but I do not want to leave the listeners and those that are going to listen to this show later without giving them some golden nuggets on how to help them overcome or help them forgive and how to really walk in a forgiveness. So can you give them some tips or some things that they can do? Because it's easier said than done, you know.
Yes.
Let's only be honest. It's easier said than done. When you get hurt, you hurt, and you have to fight that flesh real good to really forgive that person. But I want you to give them some tips on, or some, you know, just some golden nuggets that they can use to get to the point of walking in forgiveness.
Okay. I mean, you know, I hope that they had a chance to take some notes, because I think it was definitely some good nuggets thrown out between both of us today.
Okay.
And, you know, definitely, you know, start with prayer. Start with seeking God. Start with seeking God in that area and pour out your heart to God. Really let him know how you feel. He already knows it, so you might as well verbalize it. Let him know how you feel. Let him know how hurt you are, how much pain you're in. You know, pour out your heart to God because, you know, Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted and to bind up our wounds. And so pour out your heart to him. And then look for scriptures. Go on the Internet. Go on Bible Gateway. Go on whatever you use. You know, look in your Bible's concordance and look for scriptures on forgiveness and start feeding yourself. Start reciting, reading those scriptures and committing them to memory on a daily basis. One scripture a day, one verse a day on forgiveness. Because the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so you have to hear the word of God to increase your faith. So, you know, a faith might need to be increased in the area of forgiveness. And so start going through your word and every day reciting scriptures on forgiveness. And ask God to remind you of how he has forgiven you. Ask him to remind you of how he has forgiven you over and over and over again. And some of the things that you just know that you should not have done, that he even warned you about, that you went on and did anyway. And that how he has forgiven you. So that you can be in a place of not pointing the finger. And I say, you. But you can be in a place of saying, okay, I did this or I did that. So I know I need to be willing and ready to forgive. And asking him for healing. Again, healing. You know, God will heal you so that you will be in a place to forgive. That you will be in a place to forgive yourself. And then ask God, you know, Lord, whatever, show us how we got to this point. And then help us to not ever get to this point again. Show us what we need to do. Do we need to spend more time together? Do we need to communicate more? Do we need, you know, help us in the area of communication to actually truly listen to each other's heart and to ask, and to take the time to respect one another. You know, what is the issue? Sometimes it's an external issue that has become internal. Sometimes it's a job that is allowing the spouse not to spend hardly any time with the family anymore. And so we talk about that. And, Lord, please get us to a place where we truly trust you and lean and depend on you to be our daily bread, to be our everything. So we're not worshiping our job. We're not worshiping our business so that our marriage and our family won't be neglected. So, you know, the Bible says in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct our path. So if you seek the Lord, he will direct you as to what to do in the area of forgiveness and what I'm throwing out maybe some general things, but what you specifically need to do for you. He will direct you and lead you as to what you need to do so that you can be at a place of forgiveness. Because it might have been something that happened to you as a wife or as a husband that you saw happen to your mom or dad. And you're like, oh, no, here we go again. And so, Lord, remove that. Lord, I rebuke every generational curse in the name of Jesus. Remove that. And so help me, you know, to get through this. You know, you might be in a situation where you don't have your parents to look at as an example for marriage. Your parents might not be married, or they might have gotten divorced. There might have been several divorces. And you don't have to be that way. You don't have to say, here we go again. And so just seek the Lord. That's number one. Seek the Lord. And then get the scriptures to build up your faith. And then, Lord, help us to communicate. Help us to be on one accord. Help us to not be a house divided.
I really hope everyone was listening to that. I would add, you got to release the person that hurt you. Release them from the debt of the hurt. What I'm saying is refuse to punish them. Refuse to have to get back to them because they hurt you, you're going to hurt them. Do not keep a tally. Okay, this is the fifth time that you hurt me. You gotta release, refuse, and keep no record of the hurt or the actions of the incident. Take each one as singly, forgive. Because as we stated, if you do not, you're holding yourself in bondage, as Keisha said. I just love that word because it really does hold us in bondage. You gotta learn how to forgive. No other way to say it. If you can't do it, God would definitely help you get to that point that you are able to forgive. Keisha gave some great tidbits and some things that you can do. Get you some scriptures to put in your spirit to help you move forward. Because unforgiveness, you know, unforgiveness destroys marriages, and we don't want that to be a reason why your marriage is destroyed. It's something that we can definitely work through and get over and get past. It's something that you guys can work together on, and if you bring God into it, you definitely can continue to walk and grow and get stronger in your marriage. We have great examples of it. Keisha gave us one, and we want you, you know, your marriage can be a testimony about it as well. So, Keisha, we're going to end the conversation, but I want people to know how to find you because you have a weekly prayer call on Thursday night. I like the fact that it's on Thursday night because I'm not an early morning riser, so I miss a lot of prayers that happen first thing in the morning. So give people where they can find out about the prayer, how they can follow you on your social media, give the name of the church again because we may have some listeners that is in your area. So just tell them all of that good stuff.
Amen. Thank you. The ministry for the marriage is The Two Shall Become One. The Two Shall Become One is the Facebook page, so you can definitely check out the page. We have a call for the wives on Thursday evenings at 7:30 Eastern Standard Time. And so that will be going on tonight. And so we have, where we pray, we give our testimonies, if the Lord lays a word on my heart for me to give to the women, then I give that word to the women. And we just really try to encourage one another to keep on keeping on and to do what the Lord has told us to do. That number for that call is 712-432-0375. And the access code is 910-302-pound. And all of that is on the Two Shall Become One's Facebook page. The name of the church that my husband pastors is This Rock Ministry Church of God in Christ, and that's in Southwest Detroit, 410 West Grand Boulevard in Detroit, Michigan, 48216. And that also has a Facebook page. So if you wanted to look up This Rock Ministry Church of God in Christ, or you can Google us, you can definitely find us there. My name is Keisha Hodge. I get personal messages as well from different wives all the time. I got one while I was on the call on the show, you know, pray for this wife, pray for this sister. And I don't mind ever praying for someone and praying with someone. I just ask that when the Lord delivers you that you share your testimony so that you can help another sister out. But that's about it. So I have a Twitter account as well under Mrs. Hodge. So I don't use that as often as Facebook, I must admit, but you can definitely contact me that way as well.
I thank you, Keisha, for joining us today on Making It Last, because this is a topic that we definitely need to talk about and help wives and husbands get past, because it is destroying marriages, and that is not what we want, and we want to be able to help them get a renewed spirit in their marriages and renew their hope and their love and connection with their spouse. So I thank you for joining us today. I thank everyone that was on the call and listening. Play it again if you need to. Share with whomever you need. Get pen and paper and go back through it. But definitely forgive the one that hurt you. Just ask God to help you with what you need and how you need it and when you need it, because he would definitely do that. So, Keisha, I thank you. I thank everyone.
Thank you.
I am definitely will be
thank
back
you
on
for
next
joining
week
us here on Making
to,
It Last.
A new show. So join me next week, you guys, and I'll be back here midday next Thursday with a new topic.
Yes.
Thanks, Keisha.
Make sure you join us here at the same time, same place next week when I offer you another great conversation with some great guests. Until next time, remember to date your spouse, open up the lines of communication, and just enjoy yourself. This is Pamela on Making It Last.